It's really wonderful. You can see that it doesn't stop at that. Whoever does not bear his own cross, it doesn't stop. He says, and comes after me. And comes after me. He very well could have been referring literally at that point to those who were before him and saying, coming after me physically like now. But also, there's obviously a deep application in this, that coming after him, as Uncle John was talking about, being conformed to his person and his sufferings and the reproach, within this world. Let's look at who he is. We know so much of who Jesus is. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. That is what it is to become like, or to come after him, right? He went before in this way. He became lowly, and he was, he showed grace to men, all men around him. He was so kind, and he showed this compassion to those around him. So many different characteristics that we can look at, that we can look at this verse and say, that is what it means to come after him. I was thinking about Philippians chapter 3 as well, Paul's example. I don't want to go too far away, but I think Paul echoes a similar idea here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. He lists his qualifications as, going on, of which tribe he was in, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. And then he says, indeed, I count everything as loss. Once again, going back to that, to renouncing everything. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, which is dung. That's the word he used. I count them all as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That daily death that we must die to ourselves, to our passions, to those things we've been talking about, that we may become like him, coming after him, that is the cost that he is talking about.
And I was just thinking that coming out unto him, and I think this is a very important part of this thought of discipleship, because you had the multitudes that were following him, and we know in, I think it's Luke's gospel, that he challenged the multitudes that were there just simply for the miracles and the bread. And after he challenged them, it says, those disciples followed him no more. Right? A disciple means a follower. Doesn't mean that you're true or false. It means somebody is following someone. So those that were not converted in the heart, they turned back because they were just there for the natural things. But to come after him, it means, as we've said, to give up all of the rights that I have, the priorities that I have, and it means to go out where he is. Now, where is he? He is outside of this world, right? And we often think of giving up things in a very negative way. Well, I've got to give this thing up. I can't go do this. I got to go to the prayer meeting. I'm giving up all the things that I want. But the verse that Joe just pointed out in Philippians, I had in mind, this is what we get, that I may know him. This is something that we get, the knowledge of who he is. If I am following the teacher, the master, right? I want to know him. I want to know everything about him. This is where the heart comes in. And then not only do we get the knowledge of him, but also the power of his resurrection. So when we draw close to him, you see, God is no man's debtor. You follow him in faith, he gives. You say, oh, I'm giving up? Really? Think of the blessings, the knowledge of him, the power of his resurrection. Think of the power associated with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from amongst dead men over sin, death, the domain of death. That is available to those who deny themselves, who bear our own individual crosses, putting to death every day the things that I want, the flesh. And it says, and also what do I get? The fellowship of his sufferings. Now, this is the reality. Brother John said, bearing something means there's a burden with it. There's a heaviness with it. There's a reality that the world hated him. they're going to hate us. And maybe perhaps as we challenge ourselves, maybe we don't go out unto him because we have tasted a little bit of what it means to know the fellowship of his sufferings, the hatred of the world. It's a lot easier to fit in, and people, you don't do what the world does, but you also don't stand up and tell, look, that's wrong. So you're just going by. So you don't enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. And then if we don't, then we're not really made conformable unto his death. But the blessings, young people, for us is when we stand with him, when we follow him, when our hearts go out after him, right? Our hearts, not our feet. Sometimes people look at your behavior, but no, it's the heart. What we find is that there's real blessings that are associated with following him.
And the idea is not to, as was mentioned, not to focus on repression. It's not you're not allowed to enjoy anything in this world. That's not it. Because if you look in 2 Timothy again, in verse 3, it says, take thy share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That word soldier has the idea of like having a protectorship, protecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And we brought it up in our Tuesday night studies back in Wayne about being a protector of the rest that we have in the Lord. And the idea of 60 valiant men surrounding Solomon's bed, as we see in the Song of Solomon, shows in the night, do you have your hand on your sword? Are you ready to protect that rest that you have in the Lord? That's what being a soldier is. Are you fending off the world from disrupting your communion with Christ? It's not you not being able to go here or go there. It's you really wanting to protect that beautiful relationship and connection you have with the Lord.
I think in addition to what was said, I was thinking about this verse in relation to what Emil said in the beginning. He used the term that discipleship is not for sissies. And in this verse, because it talks about the fact that whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me. And I was thinking about what that word bear means. I know it's not drudgery, I agree. But in this, because we're talking about Christianity, and although the burden is light when we trust in the Lord, there's also a certain perseverance that's needed. There's a certain endurance. Self-denial is not easy, because in embedded in this verse here is the fact that we gotta deny self. And we all have to admit here as Christians that that's the most difficult thing to do as a Christian, to deny myself. It's easy for us to talk about these things and what we're supposed to do, but when we're in that moment, because your thing that you need to deny is particular to you, the thing that I have to deny is different. It's easy for me to tell you, well, you should do something. But when I'm in that moment, in private, in needing to make that decision for the Lord and deny something, whatever that is, because it says you must bear your cross. And your cross might be different from my cross. And typically something that's very difficult for me to give up or deny. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here. And that's the challenge that you and I have to deal with. I was thinking about that same verse that you read, that was mentioned and that was read, and you commented on it, Tony, about in Philippians, and I'd like to repeat that again because I think it's important. He said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. And everything that the apostle did, we talked about him dying daily, him submitting himself to the cross. That was him constantly denying himself so that he might win Christ, so that Christ might be shown forth. So I think as we talk about these things, this is a tremendous time for us to reflect and ask ourselves, what is it that I need to deny daily? What is that thing? Whether it's television, whether it's my phone that I spend so much time with, and I can't detach myself from. What is it? Is it that my priorities and it's important to be educated? But is that thing, that educational pursuit, is that taking me over to the point where the things of the Lord now has taken second fiddle? Or so I think as we look at these things and as we read these scriptures, it's important that he spent a lot of time in verse 26, after he says, you know, you love your family less. Then he talks about yourself also. And now he comes now, he takes it another level and says, now, you've got to bear that cross, which has to do with the whole point of denying self. All those things that, for me, are priorities in themselves. That is the thing that I need to start giving up so that I might win Christ.